boat. White hoes in the backseat snorting coke. She doing line after line like she writing rhymes. I had her in hell in my love trying to blow her mind. Cadillac pimping, my uncle was on. 14, I sold his keys, me and my niggas was gone. Sending portions of his liquor water in his Patron. Driver smiling like I won a fucking lottery, homes. Tires with the spokes on it, in the Vogue suit. Mustard and mayonnaise, keeping the buns. All of my dogs hanging out the window, youngest whips frontin' like a bow. Trying to fuck them all. Never fucked the whip, see what's popping at the mall. Need a bad bitch, slap a booty with my paws. Niggas fuck the pussy, I was tearing down the walls. I'm motherfucking all. Some sweating sides, had a hypnotized. Grip the leather steering wheel where I grip the thighs. See the lust stuck up in the eyes. Maybe she liked the ride, or does she like the smoke? Or does she want to love? Cause this shit a coup de ville, so you never know. So we cruise for minutes, my nigga, fuck the limit. Not a window tinted for showing gangster in it. Slide till the gas is finished. Cue.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sweet Talk here on radio.dominican.edu. DJ Honey here. I am so happy to have you guys here with me for this last show that I'm doing. I wanted to tell everyone happy Thursday. It's a beautiful day outside. I'm finally in shorts. You know, we have finally had that, like, shorts weather with, like, a light sweater. It's perfect. I love it. So I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. We're going to get right into it today. And we, as you all know, we start off basically answering questions that people have asked me on my Twitter. And for those of you who have any questions, I will continue to have my Twitter up. You can continue to ask me questions. It's Sweet Talk W Honey. So if you want to tweet me, that's again Sweet Talk W Honey. I'm more than willing to answer any questions that you guys have or give you any advice. So one of the first questions I have today is from a woman, and she says, my boyfriend and I are really close and we both want to do it, but there's a part of me that's scared. I mean, how does it feel? Does it hurt on the first time? I'm so scared that the condom would break. Is there any way that it wouldn't break, like if he went really slow or something? I'm new to this. I'm a virgin, if you can already tell, and I don't really know anything about this. I'm just scared that I'm going to get pregnant because I'm too young to have a child. So there's really no way to describe what sex feels like because it's different for everyone every time. And it depends on, you know, your arousal comfort and the trust with your partner and your partner's hormones and the situation, et cetera, et cetera. But sex should never hurt. I mean, it's something that it might hurt the first time just because, I mean, you're a virgin and it's something that you're not used to. So it may feel a little bit uncomfortable, but it's not going to hurt extremely. Your vagina is no different to what it will be anytime you have sex. When fully aroused, the vagina relaxes, lubricates, and opens. It increases in size and tends to allow sex without pain or damage. Past lack of arousal or tensing up, there are a few reasons why sex would hurt the first time, but like I said, as long as you're aroused and he's gentle, it's fine. It's, you know, if it hurts, then that's, you might need to stop. That's maybe not, you know, a good sign. And as long as there is, you know, as long as they're used correctly, condoms rarely break, and I'm being serious about that. It's very rare that they will break or tear. As long as they're used correctly, like if you have the correct size, if they're stored correctly, not torn, like if you don't tear them while putting them on, and there's enough room left in the tip for the ejaculation, going slowly won't change whether the condom could tear or not. So you just want to be, you know, careful when applying it, because there are, you know, us women have our sharp nails and everything like that. So you want to be careful. And if you're going to have sex, it is a good idea to use a buddy system, two birth control methods at that. One is not better than two. So always use condoms, but look into other birth control options such as barrier methods, hormonal methods, fertility awareness methods, or even IUDs. If you just use condoms and they break, then you have to go to the sexual health clinic for, you know, STI or STD screenings and emergency contraceptions. Is also, you can go to like CVS or something for it. They have Plan B or they have the generic version, and that can be taken up until 3 days after sex, or they have the IUDs that can be taken up to 5 days after sex. And even after that, there is also the, you know, the option of abortion if that's something that you're seriously considering. But like I said, you know, you just want to be very careful when it comes to that. Like I said, I would always recommend to use two of the methods, which is condoms and birth control, whether it's the pill or, you know, anything of that nature. So bringing up birth control and stuff like that, I had another question from another girl who had asked if basically, you know, which birth control method do I prefer? And I personally am not on birth control right now because I am not sexually active. But when I was sexually active in the birth control that I was taking, I'm the type of person who likes to see my menstrual cycle every month. There's types where, you know, you don't, like, you only get it, like, 3 times a year, 4 times a year. Or there's birth control that, you know, can take away your acne or can take away pain from, you know, your ovaries. And there's birth control that, you know, there's so many types out there that can do different things. But I prefer the pill. It's something that, you know, you just take it once a day and you're fine. There's, you know, the IUDs and everything. That's not my style, but it's completely up to you. If you're a forgetful person, you know, you probably want to, you know, do other methods. But I personally enjoy the pill. So the last question I have for you today is from a guy. And he basically is asking, he says, I have a question here. Do you guys prefer a girl with sex experience and not having to lead her through it and having her be aggressive and fun during intercourse? Or do they prefer to take a girl's virginity and lead her through it, making it an intimate, sensitive activity? Which do they prefer? And what are their opinions on girls wanting to stay virgins? Will they just force them to have sex, make out naked, respect that, anything? So first off, I want to say that you have to remember that all guys are not the same. As a whole, they have a reputation for wanting nothing but sex. But in reality, guys' attitudes are just as varied as those of females. Really, there are many good guys out there who don't just want to have sex and take advantage of girls. I know that it's hard to believe with, you know, the stories that people might hear about how guys are all monsters who just want sex, but, you know, it doesn't matter one way or another as long as a guy is committed, in a committed relationship with a person, if they are a virgin or not. With that being said, there are still quite a few guys out there who just want to have fun and desire experienced women. On the other hand, you know, there are many female friends who are the same way. They want a man who knows what he is doing. And still, the bottom line is that, you know, we are all different, and that is completely up to the guy. It's not really just like a, you know, a bias thing or anything of that nature. And to answer the other questions, I think a girl who wants to maintain her virginity is highly respectable. Also, the vast majority of guys would never force a girl to have sex. I mean, there's times when guys kind of, you know, try to persuade them and stuff, but to force them, if they're in the right state of mind, I don't think that's something that really happens. Besides, you know, the serious situations of like rape and stuff, which is also something you need to be careful about. But I mean, if it's someone that you're dating, I feel like, you should have that, you know, that boundary with them, and that they, if they respect you, won't, you know, cross it. And if sex is all that he wants and you don't want to give it to him, he probably will dump you, to be honest, but not force you to do anything that you don't want to do. And trust me, we are all different. You know, guys and girls, most of guys are decent people. If a man you're dating tries to force you to have sex with him when you don't want to, then that's when you need to dump him. So that's basically all I have for the, you know, questions that we do. We do 3 a day. So there's that. So I want to, you know, just lead you guys into what our topic of today is going to be, and it's going to be sex. You know, who doesn't love sex? Let's just put it out there. I mean, it's an amazing thing, and I want people to be able to just express themselves and express their sexuality, because we live in a day and age where it is something that, you know, is put out there more than it was back in the day. And why not just embrace it? I mean, we're all human beings, and we're biologically wired to enjoy it. So let's enjoy it, and we're going to talk about it today, and it's going to be amazing. First off, I want to talk about how, you know, there's always a number. People, especially, you know, people that I've dated, is like, they've asked, what's my number? What's your number when it comes, you know, to how many people you've slept with and stuff, which I can see it being, you know, kind of like a precautionary thing when people ask, like, oh, what's your number? Because they want to see how many people you've slept with and, you know, if you might have anything or anything of that nature. But I feel like sometimes it can be mistaken as, or it can be, you know, put out there as, oh, like, a slut shaming, basically, as if, you know, if you been with too many people, or not too many, but if you've been with quite a few people, that people tend to judge you. And there seems to be the sense that you can only have sex with a certain number of people, especially if, you know, you're a girl. Some say that 10 is a limit, or 6 is just right. Some even think that 2 is too many. Some people base this number on whether they believe you should wait until marriage. And some tend to, you know, only have one partner. So this number is really based on how many people their friends have had sex with, or their parents have told them is acceptable. So so is there really one magic number that determines how many sex partners someone should have? Personally, I don't think so, but we'll explore that idea more when we come back from our break. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu, and like I said, we'll be talking about sex, so stay tuned, you guys. We'll be back in just a little bit.
Rising and rising, and when I get that feeling. ando buscando como un loco por el mundo y sin ti ya no aguanto un segundo.
Alrighty, everyone, and welcome back to Sweet Talk here on radio.dominican.edu. I hope everyone enjoyed that song, Marvin Gaye, Sexual Healing. It is amazing. So before we left, we were talking basically about our sexual numbers and how that kind of reflects on how people, I guess, perceive us and our sexuality. People tend to ask us all the time, how many people have you slept with? And I personally, like I said, I don't think that determines, you know, a number really determines how many sexual partners someone should have. So I have a couple of definitions here from you that people tend to think of the numbers. Some teens, like Connor Garvey, 17, of Morristown, New Jersey, think that you should have a certain number of sex partners by a certain age. He says, I think having seven sex partners by the time someone is 25 is acceptable. Connor explains, it's enough time to have a couple hookups and a few long-term relationships. So what kinds of relationships someone wants to have, like having monogamous relationships or hookups, can also be a factor in how a person decides how many partners is okay to have. Some teens are okay with having casual relationships. Others think that only monogamous relationships are acceptable when it comes to having sex with someone. Some even have different definitions of sex, and they, you know, only count certain behaviors as sex. I remember the other day in class, actually, my teacher had asked us a question of basically who believes that oral sex is not sex, or, you know, basically who thinks it's not sex. And there was a number of people who raised their hands and other people who didn't. So people tend to have their different definitions of sex, and some teens define sex as vaginal or anal sex, or even manual penetration, like, you know, fingering or whatever, anything of that sort. And some teens think that oral sex counts as sex. So like I said, it's what people, I guess, believe is sex, and you can't really base a number off of, you know, someone's skewed opinion, basically, or belief. And when I asked Erin McKell, 19, how many sexual partners she thinks is okay, she said that it's different for everyone and there's no right or wrong number to have with. But in mathematical terms, I think for teenagers, probably about 2 or 5. So I also, you know, asked her how she defines sex, and you know, she says that she defines sex as any sexual activity that goes beyond kissing or touching with clothing on. She goes to say that I think it's interesting how people don't consider oral or anal sex to be real sex. And I know that I heard actually about a college, I couldn't tell you where it's at, I forgot, but it's like a Mormon college, and according to like their religious beliefs, that they are not allowed to have sex, you know, to benefit themselves or to make themselves feel good. It's only for one purpose, and that's, you know, to procreate and all that good stuff. And they have to wait till marriage. So they've like invented, I guess, or whatever, you know, they came up with this idea that kind of, I guess, like a loophole for them. It's called soaking, which I believe, I, you know, put my opinion out there, it's just weird to me, and it's just wrong in all types of ways. But it's basically when the man enters the woman, and they just sit there, just sitting there with, you know, his little friend inside of her, and they just soak. How that works, I really don't know, but I found out about this from a friend of mine whose friend actually attends that school and participates in the soaking process. So I found it to be pretty interesting. Anyways, putting it out there, so that was just, you know, another loophole that I guess people tend to go around, or what they don't think is actually sex and stuff like that. So the next, you know, question is, how many? You've probably figured out by now that like everyone seems to have those different numbers in their heads, and you're probably thinking, you know, so what exactly is the right number of sex partners to have? Well, the answer is, there is no real answer. The numbers that a lot of teens seem to think, you know, hold true are actually very arbitrary. With so many different numbers in mind, there is no one true answer to how many sex partners someone should have. So can someone really be promiscuous when everyone has such inconsistent ideas of you know, what sex means. Lee Park doesn't think so. He's 18 from New Jersey also. And he says, I don't feel that this matters. I believe that everyone has a right to do what they want with their body. And a number shouldn't define what's acceptable for sex partners. It should depend on what the person is comfortable with, which I totally agree with. If you're comfortable with who you're messing around with and, you know, how many people you're messing around with, and as long as you're safe, that's like all that matters to me. I mean, unless, you know, like you're in a committed relationship, then, you know, you should only be messing with one person at that, you know, at that point. But, like I said, safe sex, and as long as you're comfortable, it's totally fine. And as you can see, there are some teens out there that feel that numbers shouldn't matter when it comes to a person's sexual partners. And I couldn't agree more. I mean, I am a strong believer that whatever people want to do with their sex life and their, you know, their body is up to them, whether it's a tattoo, a piercing, or, you know, participating in sex, it's whatever. Teens should feel freedom to experiment however they want while practicing safe sex, like I said, of course, without, you know, fear of judgment from themselves or others. To me, this magic number myth just brings people down instead of, you know, slut shaming each other and worrying about whether we had sex with the right number of people. Let's just do what makes us happy, whether that means having had, you know, multiple sex partners or having no sex partners. Ultimately up to them. And in terms of slut shaming, I mean, it's really brought down what people necessarily think about, you know, women. And I am a big advocate for women and how, you know, they need to express themselves and they shouldn't be judged differently than a male would. So, you know, just putting that, you know, side note, you know, out there, because it is something that we do see in today's society, unfortunately. And, you know, though we are in 2015, we still deal with, you know, these gender roles and these different things between male and females, because I know still, you know, if a woman is to be, you know, sexually, I guess, out there and be what people like to call promiscuous, it's not okay to society, which to me is, I mean, if a guy is, then he's okay, like that just doesn't make sense to me. But in terms of that, I just want to leave you guys with that. We'll be right back. Enjoy this song. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
Girl, I'm in love with you, baby, and I want you to know that I'm hooked on your body and I'm trying to be yours. We beat it up like a roller. A pony, cameras up, cameras flash. I'm tipsy, trying to last. I wanna change her name to Mrs. Nash. There's nothing left to say, 'cause she rocking that thing like, ooh, hey, she rocking that thing like.
Girl, I'm in love with you, baby, and I want you to
She rocking that thing, oh, yeah. To the left, rock to the right, lend me your body, I'ma rock it all night. Don't leave us on this floor, shorty. The door's to the left, walked on the right. Tell my new holla back, tell your girls good night.
The way you're rocking it up in this club, I swear you're gonna make them fall in love. The way you're rocking it up in this club, I swear you're gonna make them fall in love. Love.
Hello everyone and welcome back to radio.dominican.edu. DJ Honey here. So we just got done talking about slut shaming and how the magic number basically is something that people perceive to be the number of people that, you know, they encounter sexually, and how it's not really, how that can't really be judged by a person, or a person can judge someone else off of that, because different people have different ideas of what sex really is. You know, they have different opinions. So like I said, our topic for the day is sex, and I want to bring up some 10 surprising health benefits of sex. First of all, it helps keep your immune system humming. Sexually active people take fewer sick days, says Yvonne Fulbright, PhD of sexual health expert. People who have sex have higher levels of what defends your body against germs, viruses, and other intruders. Researchers at Wilkes University in Pennsylvania found that college students who had sex once or twice a week had higher levels of a certain antibody compared to students who had sex less often. You should still do all the other things that make your immune system happy, not just sex. So other things like eating right, staying active, getting enough sleep. And as college students, we all know that sleep is kind of something that we don't tend to get a lot. You also should keep up with your vaccinations and use condoms if you don't know about the STD statuses of you and your partner. Secondly, it boosts your libido. Longing for a more lively sex life, having sex will make sex feel better and will improve your libido, says Lauren Streckler, MD. She is an assistant clinical professor of obstetrics and gynecology at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine in Chicago. For women, having sex ups a vaginal lubrication, blood flow, and elasticity, she says, all of which makes sex feel better and help you crave more of it. Thirdly, it improves women's bladder control. A strong pelvic floor is important for avoiding incontinence, something that will affect about 30% of women at some point in their lives. Good sex is like a workout for your pelvic floor muscles. And, you know, come on, women, we all know this. When you have an orgasm, it causes contractions in those muscles, which strengthens them. Excuse me, I'm having a little rough time speaking over here. So, you know, people tend to say, you know, sex is a good workout. Well, there you have it, women and men. It truly, truly is. Fourthly, sex lowers your blood pressure. Research suggests that a link between sex and lower blood pressure, says Joseph J. Pinzone, MD. He is the CEO of Medical Director of Amal Wellness. There have been many studies, he says. One landmark study found that sexual intercourse, specifically not masturbation, though, just, you know, sexual intercourse with your partner, lowered systolic blood pressure. That's the first number on your blood pressure test. So that's good news. That's another thing that it does for you. And for people who have high blood pressure, you just need to have a little bit more, you know, sex. I mean, hey, it works for some people. And so we were talking about exercise earlier, and sex does count as exercise. Sex is a really great form of exercise, Pinzone says. It won't replace the treadmill, but it counts for something. Sex uses about 5 calories per minute, 4 more calories than watching TV. It gives you 1-2 punch. It bumps up your heart rate and uses various muscles. So, hello everybody, get busy. You may want to clear your schedule to make time for it on a regular basis. Like with exercise, consistency helps maximize the benefits, Pizone says. So another good thing that it does for you is it lowers your heart attack risk. A good sex life is good for your heart. Besides being a great way to raise your heart rate, sex helps keep your estrogen and testosterone levels in balance. When either one of those is low, you begin to get lots of problems like osteoporosis and even heart disease. But having sex more often may help. During one study, men who had sex at least twice a week were half as likely to die of heart disease as men who had sex rarely. Sex also lessens pain. Before you reach for an aspirin, try for an orgasm. Orgasm can block pain, says Barry R. Combs Ruck, PhD of Distinguished Service Professor at Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey. It releases a hormone that helps raise your pain threshold. Stimulation without an orgasm can also do the trick. We found that vaginal stimulation can block chronic back and leg pain, and many women have told us that genital self-stimulation can reduce menstrual cramps, arthritic pain, and in some cases, even headache, Combs Rock says. So that's interesting. It lessens pain for some people. Like we said, the question that we had earlier is, it sex, you know, is it painful? But turns out, you know, it lessens pain. So that's actually a good thing. Number eight, it may make prostate cancer less likely. Going for the gusto may help ward off prostate cancer. Men who ejaculated frequently at least 21 times a month were less likely to get prostate cancer during one study, which was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. You don't need a partner to reap the benefit. Sexual intercourse, nocturnal emission, and masturbation were all part of the equation. It's not clear that sex was the only reason that, you know, mattered in that study. Lots of factors affect cancer risk. So, but more sex won't hurt. So, you know, if you want to go ahead and try that out, let me know how it works. Number nine, it improves sleep. And this, as we all know, is very, very true. You may nod off more quickly after sex, and for good reason. After an orgasm, the hormone prolactin is released, which is responsible for the feelings of relaxation and sleepiness. After sex, says Sheely Ambardar, MD. She is a psychiatrist in West Hollywood, California. And last but not least, it eases stress. Being close to your partner can soothe stress and anxiety. Ambardar says touching and hugging can release your body's natural feel-good hormones, and sexual arousal releases a brain chemical that revs up your brain, brain's pleasure and reward system, which is, you know, definitely, definitely nice. Sex and intimacy can boost your self-esteem and happiness too. Ambardar says it's not only a prescription for a healthy life, but a happy one too. So that's also very, very beneficial. We all know that, especially right now during finals week, we're so super stressed. I'm not saying go out and have sex with anybody, but I mean, if you have that option, please take it into consideration. Not only will it help you health-wise, but it'll help you mentally and physically as well. So those are pretty good, you know, the health benefits that you could get from, you know, having sex. And as we all know, it, like I said earlier, we are all biologically wired to want to have sex to, you know, feel the way that we do. If we didn't, that's, you know, we wouldn't have hormones. So going on into my next topic, I don't know if any of you guys have heard about it, and I definitely have heard about it. I heard about it actually on the radio, and it kind of disturbed me a little bit. There was a guy who continuously for 6 years injected his penis with silicone, and why is still a question to me. Like, why would someone want to do that? It's really disturbing. And it's, I don't even know what to say anymore. It's just, when I heard about it, I was like, what the heck? I didn't think I was hearing about it right. But yeah, he injected himself for 6 years with silicone. And I believe his penis weighed about 8.5 pounds. And it was to the point where, you know, he couldn't have any sexual intimacy anymore. And I mean, when he tried, you know, the women did not want to have anything to do with it. So, I'm going to see if I can find more on that story, but, while I do, I'll let you guys listen to, you know, some music. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is Honey. We'll be back in just a second.
Let me sit this ass on you. Show you how I feel. Let me take this off. Will you watch me? this mass appeal. Don't take your eyes, don't take your eyes off it. Watch it, babe. If you like, you can touch it, babe. Do you? Do you wanna touch it, babe?
Grab a hold, don't let go. Let me know that you're ready.
I just wanna show you now. Slow it down, go around. If you rock hard, I rock steady.
And rock right up to the side of my mountain. Climb until you reach my peak, babe. Peak, babe, peak. And reach right into the bottom of my fountain. I wanna play in your deep, babe. Deep, babe. Dip me under where you can feel my river flow and flow. Hold me till I scream for air to breathe. Don't wash me over until my well runs dry. Send all your sins all over me, baby, me, baby, me.
Rock it till waterfalls. Rock it.
My profession, I gotta make a confession. I'm proud of all this space that you put it in your face. By the way, if you need a personal trainer or a therapist, I can be a piece of sunshine, inner peace, entertainer. Anything else that you may read between the lines, you and I create rockets and waterfalls. So rock right up to the side of my mountain. Climb until you reach my peak, babe, peak, babe, peak. And reach right into the bottom of my fountain. I wanna play in your deep, babe, deep, babe, deep. Then dip me under where you can feel my river flow and flow. Hold me till I scream for air to breathe. And wash me over under.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. That was Rocket by the beautiful Beyonce. She is super, super gorgeous and so talented. So we just got back from talking about that wonderful, wonderful gentleman who injected himself with silicone into his penis, and it weighed about 8.5 pounds. I did find some other stuff that I could tell you guys. I didn't find some other stuff I could tell you guys. But if you guys are interested, by any means, if you go on the website and just type in man injects silicone, you'll find some stuff on Live Leaks, more like videos and such. So if you have strong stomachs, feel free to do that. But going into my next subject, we're going to talk about spicing it up in the bedroom, because I know a lot of relationships tend, you know, people tend to get really comfortable and stuff like that. So spicing it up. you want to be more spontaneous. One of the most common ways a sex life can hit the, you know, the doldrums is that it becomes part of a routine. Maybe you only ever have sex in the mornings or on particular days when you get a break from work, school, or, you know, if you guys are married, have kids. So spice things up by having sex at unexpected times, in unexpected ways, or even in unexpected places. You can text your partner and tell them that, you know, to come over urgently. Don't tell them why. Just, you know, be in bed when they get there. Or you can make it urgent. Hop in the shower or sneak a, you know, quickie in between classes. And some couples in long-term relationships like to reintroduce themselves to the early stages of their dating when they couldn't get, you know, enough of each other. Plan to meet separately at a bar used to frequently and pretend like you don't know each other. You know, role play, that's something that tends to attract people and something, you know, that you can play around with and it's, you know, fun. Secondly, you kind of want to tease your partner a little bit. Some people are into that and some people like it. Send dirty texts throughout your partner's work day describing, you know, the detail, what you like to do. Whisper things into their ear, ramping up, you know, sexual tension would be a great way to ensure that later when you get the chance, you'll both be excited and enthusiastic for the sexual arousal. It takes some time for people, you know, to get into the mood. Don't just assume that your partner will be because you are. You've got to work for it and learn what your partner likes and push those buttons to get them in the mood. Another thing that you can do is concentrate more on the foreplay. Sometimes sex can start to feel scripted, like you're, you know, moving quickly from A to B to C, and then all of a sudden you're all the way at Z. So you want to, you know, basically just concentrate on the foreplay. Spend 20 minutes on, you know, a particular step, or start at C and move to A, you know, flip the script instead of rushing things. Take your time and enjoy the journey. Trade massages before you have sex, or set a timer for a particular length of time to spend exploring each other's body before you're allowed to move on. Make the touching part of sex as long and, you know, luxurious, I guess, as possible. Put on some soft music and make an evening of it. Be vocal or slow, or take your time. Do what it takes. You know, you don't want it to be boring. Another thing is you can, you know, explore your kinky side. Don't do anything you don't want to do, but, you know, if introducing toys, handcuffs, and costumes or anything in that, you know, vicinity of your brain or, you know, comfortability, if you do that into the bedroom, seems exciting and, you know, fun for the both of you, then do it. Be as kinky as you want to be, as long as your relationship puts honesty and communication first. There's no wrong way to have sex. You want to add fantasy into it, you know, more role playing and stuff, be my guest. Blindfolds are easy ways to make that suddenly touch focus and different. And if you're into it, get, you know, the sensory deprivation route. There are loads of magazines, also videos and, you know, books at your library and loaded with, you know, new techniques, positions, ideas for spicing it up. And, you know, get your, you know, Kama Sutra on, you know, the new things and stuff. And, you know, we're in San Rafael and there's like at least 2 sex stores that I can think of that are like 5 minutes away driving distance, and even walking distance. So if you want, go ahead and, you know, take a little stroll out to them. There's one on 4th and one on 2nd, I believe. Another thing that you could do is talk to your partner and, you know, tell them what you like, you know, being honest. And the safest, smartest, and quickest way to improve your sex life is, you know, to communicate. Like I say all the time, communication is the most needed thing in a relationship, and most, you know, that's like the number one factor in a relationship. So being open with your partner is definitely something you should do. Tell your partner what turns you on and what turns you off. Discuss your limitations and your, you know, ambitions of your sex life. Tell your partner anything they need to know to make your sex life as pleasurable and functional as possible. If, you know, you find it difficult or embarrassing to talk about your sex life with your partner, do you really think you should be having sex with them? You know, do stimulations, free rights, and, you know, share your writing with each other, or by turning off, you know, the lights and talking in the dark, whatever makes you feel comfortable. Talking builds trust and intimacy. While it may seem harder to cut to the chase and start doing it, talking in the earlier stages of your relationship will help you avoid awkwardness and build the, you know, trust necessary to facilitate a healthy sex life. Don't do anything you're not ready to. And talk about it first. Definitely talk about it. Hello. Communication. Remember that, people. Communication. You want to be specific. when talking about sex, we often get, you know, sheepish and fall somewhat short of talking as specifically as one would in terms of being helpful. So try and be as specific as possible so your partner doesn't have to work to, you know, decode your messages. This is not Morse code, you guys. You know, just be blunt. Instead of saying, I wish we had more sex or I wish we'd have different sex, tell your partner how much you love being with them and how much, you know, or how you want to work on building your intimacy with each other. Then discuss specific things that you'd like to do together or, you know, specific things you'd like to change. But like I said, being honest is definitely something that, you know, you should take into account. Another thing is talk during sex. And I'm not telling you to ask how your day was, but I'm basically saying often it's difficult to know if, you know, what you're doing is right or if it's working for you or your sexual partner. And it becomes, you know, frustrating when the partner doesn't want to talk and, you know, you don't really know how you're doing, or sometimes that's what people are into. So be directive and show your partner the kinds of touches and the kinds of techniques that make you feel good, and ask them to do, you know, the same. Ask questions and provide answers, but don't make it awkward, you know, like there's people who tend to not know how to say it. So you want to be, you know, be honest, but be, I guess, sexy at the same time, if possible. You know, think of talking less as correcting your partner and more as encouraging them when they hit the spots that, you know, make you feel good. It doesn't have to be complicated. Just try asking, you know, does that feel good or do you like that? And if you don't like something, show your partner where or how it would feel better. If you like a different place, tell them. Demonstrate the way you'd like your partner to treat you, you know, and your sensitive parts by performing the same action on their hands or fingers. Say, hey, I like this, or I like it when you do this. Encourage them to do the same. Share fantasies, why don't you? Talk about the things that you fantasize about, the things that turn you on. Write them down if you feel sheepish, and then discuss them with your partner. If something comes up in a conversation, like when you're watching television or reading a magazine, ask, what do you think of that? Be honest and be open with your partner. The brain is the most sensitive sexual organ. Discussing fantasies doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you're going to act them out in real life, but your imagination is definitely another, you know, thing that you can incorporate into your sex life, which is definitely something that, you know, we as people need. And making time for intimacy. Take a vacation together. Even a short weekend away can alleviate the burden of daily life. Even sometimes a daycation, you know, just go out, enjoy the city, enjoy Centerville, enjoy, go to, you know, SF, just spend time with your partner and, you know, show them that you're all about them. That definitely will turn them on. Initiate sex with them as well. You don't, you know, a lot of people tend to think that women don't like to initiate sex, but there are some that do. If your partner is usually the one to initiate it, maybe you should switch things up and you initiate it this time. And like I said, make time for intimacy. You know, put it on a calendar, maybe put it in your phone, you know, and also practice emotional intimacy as well as physical intimacy. Your sex life is about more than what happens between the sheets. If you're not close emotionally, if you're not spending time together and understanding each other, the sex will suffer and so will your relationship. You have to talk and you have to spend time with each other. Make time for romance, bring her flowers or make her a special day, you know, to do something, you know, both of you want to do, showing that you understand and that you think that your partner is, you know, about your partner. Is a great way to show them that you care, and you know, it could also turn them on to know that, you know, you're thinking about them and that you know truly what they want. So with that being said, I'm gonna leave you guys the song and then we'll be right back to wrap things up. Thank you guys for listening. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. I'm Honey and we'll be right back.
Got a body full of liquor with a cocaine kicker, and I'm feeling like I'm 30 feet tall. So lay it down, lay it down. You got your legs up in the sky with the devil in your eyes. Let me hear you say you want it all.
chest, bang, bang, gorilla.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Sweet Talk here on radio.dominican.edu. I want to thank you guys for listening so much. It's been an awesome semester. I also want to thank everybody for listening today. Just to wrap things up, we talked, you know, today we talked about sex. So, you know, in the words of salt and pepper, let's talk about sex. but yeah, we talked about, you know, things that you could do to spice up your relationship, as well as, you know, some, you know, surprising health benefits of sex. We also talked about the guy for a little bit who injected his penis with 6 pounds of silicone and, you know, for 6 years, it was, you know, ridiculous. And we also talked about slut shaming and, you know, what our sexual number and what that means to people nowadays. But like I said, you guys, it's been an amazing semester. I hope you guys really enjoyed my show because I know I did. You guys have been amazing with following me on Twitter and, you know, tweeting me and, you know, with comments and suggestions and questions. I'm so glad that I was able to do all of that for you guys. I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. It's beautiful outside. So make sure you go out there with your significant others or even just your friends and enjoy the weekend. School's almost over. So for those of you who are students, you know, stick on through, you know, pull on through. We have just couple of more weeks left and then the summer will be here. So I hope you guys are having a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you once again. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. And for the last time this semester, this is DJ Honey. Thank you guys.
Inside my Cadillac, that is my shit. And I'll throw it up.
That's what it is.
In my C-A-D-I-L-L-A-C, bitch. Can't see me through my tents. I'm riding real slow. And my paint wet, dripping, shining like my 24s. I don't got 24s, but I'm